new lesson, lesson 43, and I've entitled this one, Say It or Pray It. And what I'm really talking about here is that we're on methods 3 and 4 of various ways God's healing power can be applied or administered to either your body or someone you're praying with. As I said earlier on the last tape, we're on step 4 of our Stairway to Healing, know how to put God's healing power to work. And we're going to talk about 7 different methods. We're on 3 and 4 right now. And I call this lesson Say It or Pray It. Now, if you look at the little table at the top of your outline here, you see that we have a healing method, a scripture, an initiator, a person praying, primary recipient, faith required, question mark, and examples. The first one, say it. Method 3 is the spoken word in Jesus' name. And we have a scripture that we're going to talk about there tonight. And by initiator, I mean, who initiates this? Is it the person, do you go up to a person and do you say, I want to pray, let's pray, you know, there may be need healing, or the person needing healing going to the other person? And I'm saying either one, you know, it can be either way, really. The person praying, though, needs to be the believer. Because if you read very closely in here, the believer is the one that the Lord gave these powers and rights and privileges to. The primary recipient can be anyone. It can be for yourself, it can be for someone else. And is there any faith required for method 3? Yes, we need to have faith in Jesus' name, the word tells us. Now it's a little different than some of the others. This is the faith in Jesus' name is what gets the job done here. Because if you remember back to when, in Acts chapter 3, when Peter and John were walking through the gate to go into the temple, there was a beggar there. Do you remember? The one in alms. And he looked at them and said, expecting to receive something. And Peter said unto him, silver and gold I don't have, but such as I have, I give unto you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. All right? Now, later on in verse 16, as they're in the temple, they're talking about this, and everybody's raving because this guy's running around and walking, leaping, and praising God. And the Bible tells us, it says, his name, through faith in his name, does this man stand before you whole? So it's, in this case, it's faith in the name of Jesus that gets the job done. His name, through faith in his name. So not only do we need to be developing our faith in the areas in healing to believe that we receive when we pray, that would be like Mark 11:24 words. So that's another method we haven't talked about yet. But you know, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, healing might be it. When you pray, believe you receive and you shall have it. It doesn't mention Jesus' name there. But you do have to believe that you receive when you pray. In this case, it's his name through faith in his name that gets the job done. The name of Jesus is all powerful. It's a fantastic name. I don't know if you've ever had a revelation on Jesus' name. I mean, when I was saved, and that wasn't a long time, I just went through a period of my life where his name was just, every time I would hear it, it was just wonderful. I mean, it was just something about, there's just something about that name. No, but there really was. I mean, I was going to a Catholic church at the time, and the priest, every time he would say the name Jesus in the Mass, and he was just saying it like normal, it was just like an electric shock went through me. And it affected me so much that I went up to the man afterwards. Just, I've never done this in my life. Walk into the place after the priest goes off the altar afterwards, and he's taking his robes off and all that, and I said, I just need to talk to you for a second. And he's never seen me before in his life. And he says, what about? And I said, I just love the way you said the name of Jesus. He didn't know what I was talking about. It wasn't so much that he said it special. What I found out later was it was just the name was so special. And it is a beautiful name. It's a powerful name. It's the name that's above every other name. And it was given by the Father God to the Lord Jesus Christ. And before he was ever born on this planet, the angel Gabriel came and said, his name shall be called Jesus. That is his name. And there's power in that name. I don't know about you, and I don't mean to sound critical, but when I go to a church, especially, and I hear the pastor or somebody that's supposed to know better in the church praying in thy name or in his name we pray, it just about drives me crazy. Because, folks, there is no power in the name, the word pronoun his or the pronoun thy. But there's mighty power in the name of Jesus.
That's right.
And that's the name we should pray in. I'm not trying to be judgmental. I'm just telling you that it's so powerful and it's so beautiful. And that's the way it's to be used, that to hear people almost like the enemy has got them avoiding that name.
Yes,
because
it's not politically correct.
Right.
It's just like correct.
Not only that, but there's no power in it, and he doesn't have to move or do anything when we use the name thy, or the name his, or for
right.
Jesus' sake.
Mm-hmm.
For Jesus' sake. For our sake. You know, we're the ones that want the answer to the prayer. Don't be bashful. Pray in the name of Jesus. There's the power. Don't be trapped into praying in thy name or his name.
You didn't mean to apologize for saying it, but you did.
Well, everybody's mind went, I know somebody, and a person popped into their mind, and I didn't mean for that, okay? But I just want people to learn. I don't want them to be critical of someone else, but I want them to use that mighty name the way it was intended, and that is when you pray in Jesus' name, and you say that name with authority and boldness because there's power and authority in that name. And the name that authority is in is the name, what?
Jesus.
Jesus. It's a beautiful name. It just, I don't know, it's just a wonderful name.
And it's going to give you goosebumps.
It does. It's a name above every other name. When you pray for healing for somebody and you say, in the name of Jesus, all the power in the universe is invested in that name. And when you get it in your spirit, his name, through faith in his name, will make that person whole. But you got your hands laid on.
Then do you at times go further in order to identify so that there is no question by saying Jesus Christ of Nazareth? Of Nazareth?
No.
Have you done that?
There's only one name, Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus.
Satan knows what it is. You know, you can say Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Anointed One is what that means.
Mm-hmm.
But the power is in the name Jesus.
That's right.
And Satan isn't going to be confused if you say, what's Jesus? He knows what's Jesus. Okay. But I know some people say, well, I want to really say it, and I'll say Jesus Christ of Nazareth, so no question. That's fine, because the name Jesus is in there.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where the power is.
That's right.
Okay. There's no other name like it. It's the name Jesus. It didn't, you know, that's the name. Not Christ. In Christ's name we pray, sorry, doesn't do it. That's not his last name, okay? No, it means the anointed one. There's many Christ. Jesus said there's many Christ that are going to come. They're going to say, I am the Christ. There's one the Christ, and there's only one Jesus the Christ. But the power is in the name Jesus. That's the one. I mean, Jesus said very clearly, he said, he that believeth on me in my name, and his name is Jesus, shall he cast out devils? Now, like you're saying, Diane, you can't sit here in your mind and go, that person's got a devil over there. I'm going to think in my mind. You know, a devil will laugh all over the place at you. There's no power there. You have to speak it out. Now, you don't have to say it real loud, necessarily. You don't have to scream at the top of your lungs. That's not the devil says, I'm getting out of here, you know. We learned in devil school that when the DB gets over a certain decibel level, gets a certain height, we got to scat. But under that, we don't. No, it's the name of Jesus spoken, whether it's quiet, whether it's loud. I mean, if it helps your faith to say it loud, go ahead and say it loud. But you can say in the name Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And if you got faith in that name, see, that's where the power is in the faith in that name. And that name spoken with faith will do everything it's supposed to do. And another thing that you brought up, Diane, is so important, is we're going to talk about prayer tonight, too. It's so important that we pray with our words, not in our mind. Now, this is an area that, you know, that people have been doing this for years, and if they don't like to hear this if they've been doing this. We're supposed to speak, folks. We're supposed to say it, even if it's very quietly. There is no example of thought prayer in the Bible. There just isn't. Okay? When Jesus was by himself in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed out loud with words when he was far away from his disciples. Now, you know, I'll just leave it at that. But, you know, go back and if this rankles anyone, look up. Try to find an example of someone that prayed in their mind. See, the power is in this spoken word. All through the Bible, you know. Mark 11:23, you know, whoever shall say to to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast. You shall not doubt something, but shall believe what he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. The tongue of the wise, the tongue is health, not the thoughts. The tongue, confess your health, you know. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. It's all through the Bible. I mean, look at Psalm 5:3 says, give voice to your prayers. Psalm 17:1 says something about the prayer of our lips. Always it's our lips, it's our voice, it's our tongue, because there's power in that spoken word. And in fact, Jesus said himself, he said, your Father knows what you have need of even before you
say it.
So we still need to ask, even though he knows what we have need of. We're supposed to ask. And every prayer that you can find in the Bible, in the book of Acts or anywhere, was always a verbal prayer. The thing it is, somehow God has decided down through the ages that giving voice is where the power is. When God created the universe, God said, see, he said, let there be light. And then he invited us to have the God kind of faith. And it was over an incident where he had talked to a fig tree. And he invited us to have the same kind of faith he did. In other words, speak. He spoke to that tree. All right? There's just so many examples in the Bible. So I won't spend too much time on this, but it's important that we understand that there's power in the name of Jesus, and there's power in words of spoken in faith. Paul said, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. Not thought, spoken. Every idle word that man shall utter, you know. See, it's the words that have the power, not the thoughts. Thank God it's not our thoughts. Because, you know, our thoughts really are a filter, if you think about it. Thoughts come into your mind from wherever. I mean, you can have the strangest thoughts sometimes. And some of them will come put into your brain by the enemy. Yeah. That's no sin, as long as you don't act on them, and you just say, I resist that thought in the name of Jesus. Say it, too. Even quietly. Very quiet. It does. Speaking in tongues. You don't think in tongues. You speak it out. You say it. Tongues. Tongue moves. Pray. Tongue moves. It doesn't have to be. You can pray in the spirit in the bed, and Marianne never knows. You know? Because it's just so quiet. But your tongue is moving. It's not thought in your mind, necessarily. So, I didn't mean to get into all this tonight, really, but it's important, I think, sometimes. You know, as a teacher, you want to spell things out. I mean, it's just you don't want to leave a lot of confusion. You don't want. It used to be frustrating for me to go to a church service or something and have the pastor or the preacher telling, do this and do that. I'd never tell you how to do it. It just drive me crazy. Well, how do I do it? Well, somebody tell me how you do it. I'd love to do it if I only knew how. Well, I didn't realize that that's what the teacher's job is. The teacher goes the next step, and he says, how? This is how you do it. Step one, step two, sometimes they drive you crazy with their steps and notebooks and outlines and all that. But, you know, that's the way we need that too. We not only need the inspirational preaching, but we need the how-to and the why and how it all ties in together.
Amen. Another thing about the tongue, I mean, I know we all know people who do not have control over their tongue. I'm not even talking about those people. But when you have all these random thoughts in your mind and you're not even really sure what you want to pray for, etc., and you finally bring them into focus and you say them out loud, you are putting into effect your own focus. You get yourself focused. It's not like God needs to hear it. He knows what you need. He needs to hear you say it because you focus on what you need. And it works that way. It filters out all that other
right. Because you decide after all the thoughts are said and done and you thought it through what you want to say to God. Now, there's what it is. You know, if God would just respond to every thought that came through our brains, you know, how's he going to pick out what we want, you know, what's a prayer and what's this and what's just random and what's from the enemy? You know, that's what's neat about it. You get all this stuff and you cast this part out and I don't want to say that, and you think it all through and then you say, Father, here it is. This is what I pray. As a matter of fact, sometimes if it's really, I was going to say an important prayer, I guess all prayers are important, but something I really want to remember, I'll write it down first. I'll get it just right. Because I'm going to believe I receive when I pray this prayer. So let's write it out here and let's make sure this is what I really want. This is it. This is the words I want to say to my Heavenly Father. Now, maybe that's a little overkill in some ways. But, you know, I like to know myself. And 6 months later I want to know, or a month later. Now, did I pray about that? Yeah. Yeah, it's right here. This is what I asked for. I don't have to cover this again. I can just praise you now for the answer, because we covered this. See, it helps me to believe that I receive when I pray. We've covered this. Father and I talked about this. He's working on this. Okay, we covered that. Because sometimes I kind of forget. Open your Bibles to John chapter 14. And we're going to bounce back and forth between two scriptures here. And I want you to tell me something when you read these two scriptures. I want you to tell me what's different about them and what's the same. So first we're going to read John chapter 14, 12, and 13. And I think what I'd like to do is have someone read 12 and 13 that didn't read last week. Let's see. Why don't I just... Karen, you want to start John 14? You.
Me. This one or this one?
Then we'll get that one.
I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than those because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father.
Okay. Now, did you...
Do you want me to read 14 too?
You sure?
You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it.
Good. Now, right there is a succinct little Bible lesson in three verses. Verse 12, Jesus is talking to his disciples. Now, if you ever notice, in John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, Jesus is speaking almost nonstop at the same setting with his disciples at the Last Supper. Five chapters, 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, he is speaking. And so sometimes you got to keep in mind he's still speaking of the same thing that he was talking about. Well, I'll clarify that a little bit later. But he's speaking to his disciples, and he's leaving with them some important information, because everybody here knows that at the Last Supper was the last night that a lot of these people saw him before he went to the cross, correct? I mean, the next day, he was crucified. And this was at the Last Supper, the night before. It was the same night he was actually captured in the garden. So Jesus is telling his disciples, as Karen just read it, he that believeth on me. Now, right there means this applies to who?
Believers.
Believing on Jesus is different than believing in Jesus. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody believes in Jesus as a historical figure. I don't think there may be a few kooks out there that don't even believe there was a Jesus Christ. They're the same group that doesn't believe we went to the moon. It was all a Hollywood set somewhere, you know. We got those kind of people around. But about everybody believes that Jesus, in Jesus. But when you believe on Jesus, it means you believe on him for your salvation. Now, he that believeth on me, and everybody in this room believes on Jesus as their Savior. So when you hear something like that, your ears ought to perk up. This applies to me. The works that I do, shall you do also. That's a strong statement, isn't it? Because we all look back through the Gospels and see the works that Jesus did. He healed people. He raised them from the dead. He changed water into wine. He walked on the water. He fed the 5,000. He did all of those things. And even greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father. Now, keep reading. Verse 13, and. See, he's still talking. Same thing. Still talking. But whenever you say and, it means that you haven't finished talking about what you were talking about. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So all believers, Jesus is talking to you, and he's saying that the works that you do, he did, you'll do too, and here's how you're going to do them. You're going to use my name. All right? Now, just keep your finger right there and turn over two chapters to John chapter 16. And we'll let the other Karen read verse 23, 24.
And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full.
Okay, now, Karen, who in this verse are we talking to? Who are we going to ask? Who are we supposed to ask for what we want?
The Father.
The Father. In whose name?
Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. And what happens if we ask the Father in Jesus' name?
He will give it.
He will give it to you. All right, now, this is important. In this case, Jesus is talking about prayer. Talking about when you pray to your Father and you ask Him for something. The way to do it is to say, Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you for whatever. All right, I mean, that's clear. Now, a lot of people don't, you know, I'm being real clear about this because we have believers, good Christian people who pray to Jesus. Praise Jesus, talk to Jesus, love on Jesus, but don't pray to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Nowhere in the Bible that we're supposed to pray to Jesus.
Right.
We're supposed to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. Ask the Father in my name, and He will give it to you. All right? Now, let's go back. Keep your finger there and read verse 14:13 again. And Jesus said, Karen read this, the first Karen Wolf said, and whatsoever you will ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, it almost sounds like we got two different things going on here, and we do. Now, the confusion is, if there is any, is in this word ask. In both cases, the same word is being used. But don't forget, in this case, in John 14, we're talking about doing Jesus' works. And when you're doing the works of Jesus, the ask, the Greek word is aiteo, and it means to demand as something due. Now, that same Greek word was used several times in the Bible to mean a demand. For example, the same Greek word is used when the scribes and elders demanded that Barabbas be released and Jesus be crucified. Okay, so that makes sense. Because when you do the works of Jesus, which was raising the dead, which was healing the blind, which was casting out devils, you don't pray to have it done to the Father. You command it done in the name of Jesus. See, that's different. You don't say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to cast out this devil. Why? Because Jesus said earlier in Mark 16:17, He said, he that believeth on me, in my name shall he cast out devils. See, we're the ones that are supposed to do the works of Jesus. He just said so right here. He that believeth on me, in my name shall he do the works that I've done, and greater works. So when you're doing the works of Jesus, then you demand in Jesus' name, not of God, but usually of the devil, to release that one or command circumstances to change. In Jesus' name. Do you see the difference now? In one case, we're using Jesus' name to demand something be rectified, or demand a sickness leave a person, or demand Satan take his hands off somebody, and then Jesus backs it up and does it. In the other case, we're praying to the Father and asking Him for something for ourselves. That's the difference. But in both cases, what's the same? It's in Jesus' name. Right. Good, Chuck. In Jesus' name, you do this. So see, there's the power. In Jesus' name, you do the works of Jesus. In Jesus' name, you come before the Father. That gives you a right. When Father hears Jesus' name, he listens and he hears. Because there's only certain people that have authority to use that precious name. And that's believers. You know? But, you know, the Bible is clear on that, because go back and read in Acts chapter 19 about the seven sons of Sceva. They tried to cast out a devil using Jesus' name. But they knew they didn't really have the authority to do it, because they can't command the devil to come out in that name that Paul preaches, Jesus' name, you know. Well, the devil tore their clothes off and they all ran out naked, all seven of them. That's not the way to deliver someone. You know, hopefully you'll leave with your clothes on, you know. You won't be racing out, leaving your clothes behind. But see, why was that put in the Bible? Do you ever ask yourself this question? Usually things are put in the Bible for a couple of different reasons. One is to produce faith. For example, faith cometh by hearing. If it's in the Bible and it's God's Word, you can hear that Word and develop faith to do something that's in here. Other times, it's just to show you an example of something. Now, this is not the seven sons of Sceva is not to produce faith to go in and get your clothes ripped off. So it must be for something else. And it is to show us, I believe, that the thing that was missing in the missing ingredient there was the fact that they didn't have a right to use the name of Jesus, and they tried it anyway, and it didn't work for them. Because remember, Jesus said, "He that believeth on me in my name shall he do." See? You got to believe on Jesus. That's where the authority comes. That's where the power comes. Okay. Now, we're running right down to the end here, and haven't really got into it. Okay, so you see, I wanted to make sure that we understood the difference between say it and pray it. Pray it, we're praying in the name of Jesus to the Father. Saying it, we're commanding the works of Jesus to be done in Jesus' name, and it's usually when we're commanding and demanding, it's not of God. It's of the devil to either to release that one, or to we're using the name to change a circumstance, or something like that. All right? Now, some Bible examples of using Jesus' name to demand of work of Jesus be done. Now, since we're running a little late, there's only four scriptures here. Well, let me just say, the works of Jesus. What were some of the works of Jesus? He healed, didn't he? He taught. He raised the dead. He delivered people that were under the demonic influence. Now, I've taken two examples here, healing and deliverance. In Luke 5:23-25, Jesus told a man to rise up and walk. That was the man that was carried by four that were laid down before. You remember that guy? He was carried in, they tore the roof up, and they laid him down. And first he forgave his sins. And then they had all been out of shape about that. Oh man, this guy's blaspheming. Nobody has the power to forgive sins but God. And he says, you know, that you might know that the Son of Man has power to forgive sins. I'll just say to him, you know, sick of the palsy, rise up and walk. And he said that, rise up and walk. And the man rose up and walked off with his bed. Now, to show you that we have authority to do this work, Peter did virtually the same thing at the gate called Beautiful, didn't he? He said to that lame man, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. So here the Bible has a perfect example. One of what Jesus' work was, which was making that man walk in Luke chapter 5. And then we have an example of a believer working Jesus' work. A believer now. Not just because he was an apostle, but because he was a believer. And Peter said virtually the same thing. There's only one thing different. What is it? Jesus. Peter used the name of Jesus. Now, why did Peter use the name of Jesus? Because Jesus said, yeah, in my name, he that believeth on me, in my name shall he do the works that I did. See how it works? It's just exactly like the word said it would work. Jesus said, you know, he that believeth on me, in my name shall he do. Well, here we got Peter doing exactly the same words almost. The only thing that Peter added was, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. See? Did you have something you wanted to say?
Yeah, that's what I'd asked you before about using the name.
Oh.
In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, why did he do that? Why did he add that, you know? I mean, have you ever thought about it? Is he trying to identify to this guy of which Jesus he's talking about? What's the deal?
I think, you know, if you lay your hands on somebody that's never walked before, and you know, I don't know, you just might say, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I don't know why he did it. The power is in the name Jesus, that much I know.
Does it make it more authoritative?
I don't believe so, no.
Really,
because, you know, later on we have examples where they didn't say of Nazareth, and
right.
People did things.
Yeah, and the next example you have, it says, I command in the name of Jesus Christ.
Right.
I was just thinking about it.
Yeah. You know, if it was that, you'd have to do it every time, though, if there's some power in saying Jesus Christ of Nazareth, wouldn't it? But what's common to the two cases? The Jesus Christ. And then we find in Philippians, it's the name Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So it narrows all down to that one magnificent name, Jesus.
Thor. To say, if anybody here is a Copeland disciple, and notice he does that all the time. You know, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. As if that is something difficult.
Mm-hmm. That's fine, as long as he says Jesus in there.
But who paid the price for us to have that marble church?
Jesus. You know, you could say Jesus Christ who healed in Capernaum. You could say Jesus Christ who was the Son of the Father. You could say Jesus Christ who, you know, as long as you got Jesus in there, you can describe him any way you want after that.
Well, down here on that fourth one, you use us again. Command thee in the name of Jesus Christ.
Are you number four? Yeah, right. That's in Acts 16. He didn't use Nazareth there, but he did say Jesus Christ.
You notice that all these books were written by different people, and I think it's their personality, whatever. You know.
Well, you know, I'm sure there's a little personality in there, but what we've got to keep in mind, though, these words that they wrote down were inspired by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And some of their personality, just like if you're ministering,
yeah,
or Dick's ministering, or any of us here, if we're using the Holy Spirit, it'll be the Holy Spirit's message, but our personalities will come through too.
But I mean, you know, every one of the books, they were there, but they had a little bit different insight.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, they wouldn't have written.
That's right. Well, I did a study on this one time, and I went through all the times that Jesus Christ was used, Jesus Christ of Nazareth was used, and just Jesus was used, and I came away more impressed than ever that it's the name Jesus. Now, you can say Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Jesus Christ of that lived in Capernaum for 4 years, 3 years, if you want, or whatever you want, and that's fine, as long as that name Jesus is in there. Now, how do I know this? Well, there's probably 20 or 30 examples in the Bible turn to Acts chapter 4, verse 30. This is what the Lord just brought to my mind when talking about this. This is after the disciples were persecuted in the temple and all that, and they were being thrown in jail and everything, and they came out and they began to pray, and the whole place was shaken. You remember that? And they were praying this prayer to God. And part of the prayer it says, "And Lord, we pray that you'd stretch forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus." Now you can say in the name of the holy child, Jesus, if you want to, but you better use that name, Jesus. You notice here there was no Jesus Christ, no Jesus Christ of Nazareth. All they mentioned was the name of the holy child, Jesus. Jesus. See, here it doesn't mention Christ.
And when the angel came, what did he say his name shall be?
Called Jesus.
Jesus.
I just thought this was interesting. Why did they, it's just a matter of speech probably that mm-hmm. they were using at that particular time. But I have heard a couple of people here lately say, informing the pattern, or the action that you need to take in order to get God's attention, that you have to add the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I think he's wrong.
Well, it's too bad that they didn't know it back in Acts 16, because they missed it there, and the devil came out anyway. That dumb devil didn't have to come out, because they forgot to say Nazareth.
Yeah. But it's just interesting how somebody will pick up on a phrase like mm-hmm. that, and then begin to make a doctrine.
That's right. Exactly.
Start focusing on the wrong thing, you know. Maybe it's Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you know. That's what. So all of a sudden, Nazareth becomes the key. We lose sight of the fact, Jesus.
That's just descriptive.
Yeah.
That's where he came from.
And so is Christ.
Uh-huh. Well, Christ is the anointed one. Jesus, yeah. The anointed one. That's that we know. And we know it is not his last name, but I think in your study here, you brought out topics of discussion. Maybe unintentionally.
Yeah, no, that's great, you know. But see, you know, if you go through the Bible, you find out, well, it must not be Jesus Christ of Nazareth, because back here a devil came out and they didn't use it.
Yeah.
So forget that, you know. That isn't it. But maybe it's just Jesus Christ. And, you know, you focus on that for a while. But then you go to Philippians 2:10 and it says, and his name, you know, above every name, the name of Jesus. No Christ on the end. And the name of the Holy Child, we just had Jesus. And that Gabriel says, his name shall be called Jesus. If you go back and read all these cases, man, you come away with, what a name, Jesus. You know, and the rest of this is just so much added information.
Well, I heard someone speak, because it's really not Jesus, it's Yeshua. That's really his name. But they said that, you know, whatever name that you have put on Jesus' name, that has been anointed and has become all right, you know.
Sure. I mean, you know, whatever language, you know, you can.
That's
Jesus,
right.
If you pray, uh-huh. We don't have to all pray in Hebrew
uh-huh.
to be heard, or we don't have to all pray in one language. Jesus understands, the Father understands the name Jesus in lots of languages.
Uh-huh.
And but it is the name Jesus. And if you want to have a fun study, go back and look up all the times. Look, you know, if you got a computer, it's easy to do it. You get in there and you search on name Jesus, and it's using the same verse. And you find out that, you know, there's maybe 2 times Jesus Christ of Nazareth was used in the whole Bible. Maybe 15 or 20 times that Jesus Christ was used, name of Jesus Christ. And then you find, wow, all these others, you know, where the name Jesus is used. You know, the name Jesus. And it just, I don't know, for me, I can just in my spirit tell the difference. I mean, you know, the name that just leaps up in my spirit and just is big is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus Christ is fine, use that. But it's the name Jesus is what's got the power. And Philippians 2:10 tells us that. That's the name, Jesus. What a wonderful name. An exciting name. It's a powerful name. And as you study on his name, the faith will come in that. And remember, it says his name, through faith in his name, has made this man whole. As you begin to understand the power in that name, where every demon must flee. I mean, you lay hands on somebody and they want to be delivered. Every name must bow to that. In heaven, below earth, in earth, and above earth must bow to the name, not Jesus Christ, but the name Jesus.
But put it in today's, you know, in the world's term, that's our power of attorney.
That's exactly what it is, power of attorney. Gives us the same, when the Father hears that name, it's just like Jesus doing the work, you see? He says, the works that I do, shall you do also. He that believes in my name. That's why we can do the work that Jesus did. Because when we use his name, we're taking his place.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that means. So it should be no surprise if we understand what he's saying there. He that believeth on me, in my name, shall he do the works that I did. In my name. Because when you take his name, the Father says, that's my son's name. That's where the power is. They're just like my son. Is when I hear that name, the same things will happen as if Jesus was doing it. That's why I was trying to point out here, where Jesus would just say, rise up and walk. Peter would say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he would add that bit, and the same thing would happen as far as the Father's concerned, as if Jesus said it, because it was just like Jesus saying it, when we say it in the same faith. And then when Jesus delivered a demon at Mark 1:25, he said, come out of him. If you go back and read that. I haven't done it because of the time. Then you read Acts 16:18. Paul did the same thing. He said, come out of her. It was a girl in the sight. But he added, I command thee. See, here's where the demand comes in. Remember John 14:13. Whatever you shall demand in my name, that shall I do. I command or demand thee in the name of Jesus Christ, come out. How could he demand or command that? And know it would be done. Because he knew that Jesus said, he that believeth on me, in my name shall he cast out devils. In that name. And when that name is used, that devil has to go just as fast as it did when Jesus used his own words. If we believe in the name.
Right.
You can't try it out. You say, well, I'll try this out. That's what the 7 sons of Sceva did. And even a believer, you've got to have some faith in the name. Remember, it's his name through faith in his name. Acts 3:16 hath made this man whole. So tonight we've had 2 methods of receiving healing. You can say it, command it to be done, or you can pray it. Now we're coming up on the method that I use most, but that's for another week. It's a little different than these, but they're all valid ways of doing it. So that's
We've been talking about the two verses about you command in the name of Jesus, that you have authority in the name of Jesus, and etc. But if you look at verse 11 there, it says, and that every tongue should confess or should say, and that you're supposed to say that Jesus, the anointed one, is Lord. You just say that. But if you want something done, you have to command in the name of Jesus. And it makes kind of a little distinction there after what all we've been talking about today. You could look there.
You're talking about Philippians 2:11? Uh-huh. Yeah.
2:10 and 11.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I just saw that because of all the discussion going on.
In all the cases, though, it's the name Jesus.
It's Jesus.
Jesus.
Jesus is the authority, but if you want to talk about him, then you can say, Jesus the anointed one is Lord.
Yeah.
But that's a confession. Mm-hmm. The other one is commanding authority.
Right.
In his name,
yeah,
Jesus.
Jesus Christ is the name of Jesus. Make sure Jesus is in there, though. And when we pray, we know to pray in Jesus' name, not in thy name or in his name, because the enemy's gotten the whole people sidetracked with some of this stuff, and we don't want, we want to go where the power is, right?
Amen.
So that's good for tonight, I think.
Okay, that completes the teaching I had for tonight. Let's go on now and take a look at the homework and see how much of the teaching we've retained.
Well, tonight we're going to go over a homework lesson for number 43. We had our lesson last week, and it was called Say It or Pray It. I was going to go in a little brief description of what the lesson was, but let's let the homework do that, because I'll just answer all the questions if I do that. So, number one question on our homework from last week. Name two differences between John 14:13 and John 16:23. Now, if you remember last week, those were the two verses that we were contrasting. Now, what were the differences, do you remember, last week between John 14:13 and John 16:23? Has anybody got one of the two differences?
Demand.
What? Which one do you demand in, you know? Well,
it's
wait.
John 14:13.
Okay, right.
You demand that healing come.
All right, and now, what's another difference? Demand versus ask would be one difference then. One verse you demand, another verse you ask. What's another difference? Remember the two verses. Maybe we should have read those. What?
Jesus will do it.
In which one? Do you know which one now? John 14:13. Right. And in the other verse, who does it?
The Father.
The Father does it. Very good. So did you get those two differences?
I had an awful time with that.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
You should have turned your paper over. It was right on the front.
I try to answer questions, ask questions.
I'm old and I don't know nothing to turn.
That's cheap.
Then you call somebody and ask
me. Did you get it? One of them?
Are we
asked? Were you able to get one of the two?
Why should you ask me?
I don't remember, Mike, whether I did or not, but I've spent a lot of... Nope, there's nothing there.
Okay. Well, do you understand now what the differences are? Okay.
Yes.
John 14:13 and John 16:23. In both cases, we're trying to receive something from the Lord. In healing, in the case that we've been on healing, okay? John 14:13 is a little different. Jesus said, it starts off in verse 14:12, where Jesus says, the works that I do shall you do also in my name. Okay? In my name. And then he goes on to say, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. But it's demand. If you go look up in the Greek, it means whatever you demand in my name, I will back it up, is basically what he's saying. In those works. That's how you do the works. Now, we'll go on who you demand it from. In the other one, it says, whatever we ask the Father in Jesus' name, he will give it to us, the Father. So the Father gives it when we ask.
That's what I was having problems with. I read it, but I couldn't see it.
Uh-huh.
For some reason or other.
Well, we all have questions that throw us a little bit sometimes.
And then, I know it tells you to demand.
He said that things like, come out of him. You know, remember that was in one of our examples last week. He demanded that. Or he'd say to the little girl, the little boy that died, the widow was going through, he says, arise. You know, I mean, he was demanding that the enemy let go of what he'd wrought in a person's body. So we can demand the enemy to let go.
Well, the thing about it was that I didn't understand.
Mm-hmm. You probably thought we were banning it of the Lord.
Yes.
Yeah, we wouldn't want to do that.
No. And I just can't see myself
no.
demanding the Lord to do anything.
No, that's not what we meant. Okay, are you with, okay now about it? We're not going to demand the Lord.
I've got it all sorted out.
All right. Name one thing that's the same, though, in the two verses. What's the same?
Name of Jesus.
We use the name of Jesus in both verses. In one case, we're using the name of Jesus to demand something. In the other case, we're using the name of Jesus to ask for something of the Father. Okay? Does doing what these two verses say require any faith?
Sure. Yeah.
Yes. Without faith, it's impossible to please God.
Okay. If so, faith in what?
Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. In one of our examples, you remember back in Acts chapter 3, where they healed the cripple at the gate, beautiful, where Peter and John said, silver and gold we don't have, but what we have we'll give unto you. And later in that verse, in verse 16, in that chapter, in verse 16, it says, his name, through faith in his name, has made this man whole. So their faith in the name of Jesus. See, it's important that we have faith in the name of Jesus. So that's what we should have faith in. In which method do we demand in Jesus' name? Well, Chuck already answered that, didn't he? Which one was it, Chuck?
14:13.
John 14:13. Good job. True or false? Jesus said we would do his works and even greater works in the Father's name. True or false?
True.
True?
False. False about the Father's
name. It's in Jesus' name.
It's in Jesus' name.
I'm a little tricky there, wasn't I?
Yeah. Was
sounds good.
I wasn't here last week.
Oh, that's right.
But you read it again, and then you go, whoops.
Whoops.
Did you get, you got the papers up
here? I got the papers,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pray to the Father
yeah.
in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Right. In Jesus' name. When we use John 14:13 to receive, who are we demanding from? Okay, we just kind of covered this.
Mm-hmm.
Who are we demanding to cease what they're doing or whatever?
The devil. See?
The devil. Or circumstances. Remember John, yes. Mark 11:23 said, if we say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and don't doubt in our heart, but believe what we say will come to pass, we shall have what we say. So we can use circumstances there too. We can demand circumstances change in our lives. You know, you say, sickness in the name of Jesus, you have to leave my body. Jesus, the Word of God says that by Jesus' stripes I was healed. And if I was healed, I am healed. I have a right to healing. So sickness, you can speak to the sickness. So you can speak, demand it of the devil, demand it of the sickness, whatever you want.
Finances.
What?
You can, finances too.
Finances, you know, like the Lord, one of the things that we have a right to is prosperity. We've covered that. In the curse of the law is poverty. You can speak to your situation. You can say, you know, you can just command that money to come in the name of Jesus and bind the enemy in Jesus' name. Say, enemy, take your hands off of my finances, because he operates in this earthly realm, Satan does. A lot of times he'll try to block God's blessings from coming to you. But we can speak to the situation in Jesus' name. That would be using John 14:13. Who backs up what we demand and actually does it or sees that it comes to pass? What does it say in John 14:13? Who's the one that does it?
The Father.
Now in John 16:23, if we ask anything of the Father in Jesus' name, the Father will give it to you. But in John 14:13, it says, well, let's just look at it.
Jesus says, in my name.
Huh?
I will do anything to glory for it, Father.
Right. Jesus.
Jesus.
Yeah. It says, John 14:13 says this, whatsoever you shall ask in my name or demand in my name, that will I do.
So Jesus
does for you. Okay? Yeah, we kind of get down the nitty-gritty on these lessons a little bit sometimes, but it's good to know who's doing what, I think, you know? 1 John 3:8 says the reason Jesus came was to destroy the devil's work. True or false? True. If you looked it up, it says the reason Jesus came was to destroy the devil's
yes.
work.
Yes.
It's very clear about that.
True.
Good, Thorpe. Thank you.
And notice it's not the devil, it's the devil's work.
Right. The devil has a right to be here for a while, but his days are coming. right? Mm-hmm. He's going to get thrown in the lake of fire one of these days, and that's the end of him. Name three works the devil performs. Just name some of the stuff that he's responsible for.
John 10:10, kill, steal, destroy.
Steal, kill, and destroy. There's three of them Karen just gave us. Anything else?
Sickness and poverty.
Yeah. Sickness and poverty, that's right. Karen. That's right. Boy, the Karen's got that one covered. How about things like storms that kill people and things like that? Is God responsible for that?
No.
Your insurance company thinks so. Your insurance policy.
Yeah, they always.
They always call it an act of God, don't they?
Yeah.
But it's not.
Somebody tell us to reword that.
Boy, I had to look at Sunday in Sunday school. I about swallow my teeth. The Sunday school teacher says, God allows that to happen. And I'm going, I said, no, he doesn't.
He's not responsible for it, that's for sure.
You know, I was so tired last Sunday, I was there. And that was about it.
Man, that come out and I'm just going,
and when she said that, he
looked. He looked at me just as stupid as I was looking at him.
Was that the end of the discussion?
No,
no. He tried to pursue it. He tried to pursue it a little bit further, and I said, "No, the devil does that."
Good for you, Karen.
And that was the end of it.
Yeah, I mean, why would Jesus?
The end of it because she convinced him that she was right, and that was the end of it.
All right. Good for you. I mean, that'd be kind of crazy for Jesus rebuking something his father started, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he rebuked the storm, did he not? Well, it was God's will for that storm, and he sent it. What right has Jesus got to rebuke it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well. Name three works Jesus performed. Just three. He did a lot of them, but just name.
Teaching,
preaching. Good job. What else did he do? I mean, he raised the dead. He walked on
water. He fed the 5,000 and 3,000.
Right. Changed water into wine. Mm-hmm. Those are some of the works that Jesus performed. Name an even greater work that we do, Jesus does through us today, that he never did. Greater than the ones that Jesus did.
Salvation.
That's a greater work, folks.
It is.
Isn't that great? He gives us the responsibility to carry that message to people everywhere. And Jesus never did minister that. Yes. Actually, he didn't do that as a work when he was before he went to the cross, but after he went to the cross, do you remember Jesus in John 20 says he breathed on his disciples, says, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." But we're talking about the works that Jesus did before he went to the cross. So and the baptism of the Holy Spirit is another work that Jesus never ministered that we can minister to people, you know, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. There's a few things that came in this new, from Acts on in the Bible that Jesus never ministered because he'd never gone to the cross yet. He couldn't yet. So we got that responsibility. Name three reasons that Jesus came. Well, we've covered one of them, and Thorpe mentioned it, remember? Destroy what?
The
devil's works, right. Name something else. Why else did Jesus come?
Bear our sins.
To bear our sins, to go to the cross for us. What did he say in John 10:10 he came for? Remember that?
Give us life and give it to us abundantly.
Right. I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly, but the enemy comes. So there's three things the Lord came for. Using John 16:23, who do we ask of? In that verse, who are we asking? John 16:23. You remember what that one was? It says, if you ask the blank anything in my name, he will give it to you.
The Father.
The Father. When we pray to the Father. That's important. We don't pray to Jesus, we pray to the Father. Who then gives us what we ask for in John 16:23?
He said, I will.
The Father. If you ask the Father anything in my name, he will give it you. Heretofore you've asked nothing in my name. Ask that your joy may be made full. I remember one time I used that verse. It sticks coming to my mind. My daughter Kelly was in her 9th month of pregnancy, and she was going to have her baby at home up in Duluth where we live there. And it came to the day of the birth, and she had a midwife there, a licensed midwife. And the labor had gone on for about 20 hours. I mean, it was really... And I remember it just got to be so hard, and Kelly was getting so tired and so weak. And I just went to my father, and I said, Father, you said, Jesus said, Father, that if I ask you anything in his name, you give it to me. And he said, up to now, he said, we haven't asked for anything, but ask that your joy may be made full. I said, Father, my joy would be made full for that little baby to come right now. And I ask it right now, in Jesus' name, that baby come. And just as I was praying that prayer, I heard, wah, in the other room. God is my witness, that happened. And I thought, man, my joy is full now. I mean, I've never been that close to a birth before, you know. Usually the wife goes in the other room, and after a while you're asked to come in, but this thing was in the house all day long going on. And it was hard, but my Heavenly Father came through. What kind of things can we ask for and be sure of receiving? Hint, 1 John 5:14 and 15. Okay, anybody look? Okay, let me just quote 1 John 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know he heareth us, then we know that we have what we've asked for. So, having said that, what kind of things can we ask for and be sure of receiving?
Anything
that's according to his will. All right. Where can we find the things that are God's will for us?
In the Word.
In the Word. Thank you, Madge. That was good. In the Word. That's where it is. It's not, nothing mysterious about it. So anything that we ask for that's promised in the Word, he will give it to us. Name three things that it's always God's will that his children have. There's millions of them. I mean, not millions, but thousands of them in the Bible. But name three.
Health.
He doesn't want us sick, does he? What else?
Prosperity.
There you go. Anything else you think of?
Eternal life.
There's one. Does he want us stressed out?
No.
He wants us to have peace, right?
Peace, joy.
How about a good marriage?
Yep.
You think that's his will? Or does he want everybody squabbing and fighting back and forth all the time? No. I mean, all those things are in the Bible. There's thousands of things in there that are God's will. And anything that you ask that it's God's will, he will give it to you. If you ask in Jesus' name, and if you ask in faith in Jesus' name. We've got to do that. Do we always see God's will in our lives? Do we always see God's will in our lives?
No.
If so, why or why not? Why don't we see God's will in our lives all the time? He's God. Why
doesn't? We don't know what it is.
Huh?
We don't know what his will is.
Ignorance. That's one reason we don't see it. If you don't know it's God's will, you're not going to ask for it. What else? What was Daniel's problem?
You have to stay until you get it.
You got to believe that you receive it when you pray. That's right. That's faith. How about, does the enemy just stand back and watch these promises come and go and think, oh boy, look at all the answered prayer going by. If he can, he'll jump in there if he can, won't he? But we can prevent him from doing it. All right? Acts 10:38 says Jesus went about healing everybody that the devil had oppressed. So the devil gets in there and he tries to make people sick. And if they're ignorant of their rights in Christ, they don't know, they're not going to stand up for it. Just like Karen did in the Sunday school class. These people, you know, nothing wrong, they just don't know. They don't know that that's not God's will. So they just fold up when it comes and say, well, God's sovereign. If it's happening in my life and God could prevent it, it must be God's will. And that's not true, as you found out. So thanks for knowing all that. I mean, I'm glad Karen stood up for what she believed there. God knows my thoughts. Therefore, when I pray, I may pray silently with my thoughts. True or false?
False.
He knows your thoughts, but he says to ask.
He says to use your mouth.
That's right. Thank you, man. If I desire healing and I want to use John 16:23, where it says if we ask anything of the Father in Jesus' name, he will give it to us, I should pray this way. Jesus, I ask you to heal my body. In thy name I pray. Amen. True or false?
False.
What two things are wrong with that? It's not thy name. It's in Jesus' name, as Chuck said.
And you should ask
God?
Ask the Father, not Jesus. Very good. There was two things wrong. But we got a lot of people praying that way. If I desire healing and I want to use John 14:13, I should pray this way. John 14:13 is talking about the works of Jesus, and it says, what things soever you demand in my name, that will I do. I should pray that way. Father, I ask you to heal my body. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. True or false?
False.
In John 14:13, we're demanding something of the devil to release his hold on something or to for circumstances to change. So just so you see the difference. No, I should say, Father, I demand you heal me right now. Amen. True or false?
No.
That's false too. That's the one that...
Jesus.
Right. And we don't demand it of the Father, do we, manage?
No.
Good. And then the last one, don't be silly. I should demand that the devil take his hands off me right now in Jesus' name. Is that true or false?
Sure.
That's
sure.
Finally true. Okay. That completes our homework for tonight.